Turn with me to the book of the Psalms, the 37th division. I want to read just two verses. Why don't you stand with me this evening as we read these two verses and take a moment to pray as well. I was thinking that maybe we should start, before we start the preaching of the word, to have a little bit of calisthenics to wake people up. Somebody was saying about needing a nap and all. And do a little bit of stretches and reaches. I think that's probably why some preachers say turn around and shake somebody's hand that doesn't have your last name, but it might be a little difficult here. For some, anyway. I think that may be what the reasoning is behind it. But we'll not do that this evening. Let's look at Psalm 37, verse 23. The steps of a good man or a good person are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. Father, we need your anointing. We need your touch this evening. The simple truth of your word, make it plain, make it real, make it effective to our lives and our heart this evening. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. A very familiar passage. This entire 37th division has a lot of good things in it. It seems like it could be a psalm of praise. The title in my Bible says the happy state of the godly. There's a lot of rejoicing going on. There's a little bit of caution, but points of praise. And these two verses, we can find that there is a conquest that is taking place, a Christian's conquest. There is a battle that is going on. There is something that is going against the Christian. There is a struggle that takes place. And in the midst of this conquest, there are four D words that we can look at. They may not all be listed in the exact words that we will use tonight, but it's the basic thing of these four words, D words, that would give us the understanding of how God works in the Christian's conquest. First of all, you'll notice the very first words, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. It's the directing. Do you take direction from God? The steps of a good person are ordered by the Lord. I believe that there is an ordering by God that we should follow, that Christians should observe, that Christians should depend on God for direction, not going our own way, but following after His plan and His desires, not our desires. But in order to receive God's direction, I think that's probably the biggest question that we would face, the biggest question that we would try to realize or need to realize. In order to find God's direction, we must have contact with God. A verse of scripture that continually comes to my mind when I think about following God and having Him direct my paths is the verse of scripture that tells me that He wants to direct me or lead me with His eye. I love that verse because we have to be close enough to Him to see His eye for Him to lead us with the eye. I believe that that is a verse of Scripture that can be re-preached over and over again, close enough to see His eye. In order for Him to direct us, in order for us to follow His direction, we must have a contact with God. You've heard of people that have had direct contacts with God. We heard about it at camp this year. I mentioned that to some anyway, that there was a special service for Brother Harold Jackman, and what a tremendous man he has been for many, many years, following God, faithfully serving the Lord. And there's people that are in the community, not people out from his church, but people in his community that have such a confidence in him that their statement of his life is, ask Mr. Jackman or Harold Jackman to pray because he has a direct contact with God. Wouldn't that be a good commentary for all of us? That somebody sees in the midst of our lives that we have a direct contact with God. We're not going to get that way just by show and tell. We're going to get that way by having a close walk, close enough to see his eye, close enough for him to guide us with his eye. That would come through prayer. That would come through consulting of God's word. That would come by trusting him to lead us, trusting him that he will be faithful to us, trusting him that though while we can't see all that's taking place, we can trust his heart, trusting in him to direct us. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. Proverbs 3 and verse 6 tells us that in all of our ways we are to acknowledge him, and he shall direct our paths. It's a wonderful verse to memorize. We probably all have memorized it, haven't we? From our youth up, we've heard that verse. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. We could spend a little bit of time here talking about what that word acknowledging means and how that word acknowledge in its meaning directly relates to that second part of that verse, that he will direct our paths. Acknowledging him would be more than just saying, yes, I know him. Yes, I read his word this week. Yes, I even went to church. But acknowledging him in the context here goes much deeper than just simply an acknowledgement of who he is. The acknowledgement here is that he orders my life. He orders your life. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. Here's the directing. He directs the steps of a good person. The second D that you'll notice in this passage is also found in verse 23, and that is the delighting. He delighteth in his way. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Now, I don't know if different King James Version translations of the Bible here have different lettering, different capitalization or not, but my Bible, both of those words, those pronouns of he and his are small case. So who's he talking about? I was always taught that any pronoun or name that has been referenced to God should be a capital letter. Anytime it's used, it should be a capital letter. So what is it here? What is he saying? What is this verse saying? Who is the he and who is the his? And he delighteth in his way. That's a question for us. Is it that God is delighted in our way, or is it that we delight in his way? I don't know that I can convince you either way tonight, but I do believe that it could go either way. But because as we are ordered by the Lord, as we allow him to order us, we are delighting in his way. As we are ordered by him and his plan directs us, he delights in our way. Let me give you what the Amplified has to say. The Amplified says it this way: the steps of a good man are directed and established by the Lord when he, capital H, delights in his, small case h, his way, and he, capital, busies himself, capital, with his, small case, every step. Now, me saying small case and capital may have confused you there. But it's telling us, according to the Amplified, that he, God, delights in our way, and he busies himself with our steps. In other words, he is concerned about every step that we take. He busies himself with every step that we take. That's impressive. That's humbling. That God is so concerned about you and you all the way around here that he busies himself with all of our steps. As we delight in him. The hinge is there. It's an old saying, and I may run it into the ground. I may wear it out. I still like it, but I can't help but think every time I see that phrase, God bless America, I can't help but think of the reverse. America must bless God. You say, well, how does that relate here? It relates very well here. We want to say, God bless me, God give me, God help me. But in return, we must realize that for him to do these things, if we want him to direct our paths, if we want him to have control, we are going to have to delight in his way. I believe that that's what, perhaps why it is left the way it is, that we can understand it both ways, that there is a delighting to do his will. That's what the psalmist wrote in Psalm 40, verse 8. I delight to do thy will, yea, thy law is within my heart. The delighting, the directing, the delighting. How about the third word? This one's not so nice. It's the downfall. But that's what the scripture says. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down. We don't like that one too well, do we? We probably just as soon bypass that. But could we liken it to babies? Isn't it a wonderful thing to see the first steps of a toddler, a little child, that infant switching over to being a toddler? Oh, it's exciting to see those first few steps, but then after a month or so, it becomes a little frustrating. But you watch that little child. It is so exciting to see them, and then they'll fall down, but they try to get back up. It's exciting. Isn't that the way it is in our spiritual life? A person might stumble, a person could fall, but he's not completely cast down. That's the way that the writer in the New Testament said, if a person sins, we have an advocate with Jesus Christ, or we have an advocate with God, Jesus Christ, the righteous. Wonderful verse, because if a person falls, the downfall, they are not utterly cast down. There are blunders. There are mistakes made. There's failings at times, but we have a merciful God, a patient God, and his mercy is everlasting. The psalmist said, cast thy burdens upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. We're not talking about eternal security here, that you can just stumble around and continue in that stumbling. But there is a restoration that is available very readily, very quickly. We don't have to be cast down. No staying down. The downfall is a reality, the possibility of a reality. It's not necessarily something that has to happen. It's not something that you have to deal with, especially on a daily basis, as some people would say. But there is that time, there is that possibility through the wiles of the enemy for a person to stumble, or through the weakness of the flesh, getting weary. All sorts of reasons can come into play, but we don't have to stay in that place, not completely or utterly cast down. The final D sums up a little bit here of the third one. It finalizes the third one, and that is the deliverance. For the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. The Lord upholdeth him with his hand. Can we look back to that scene of the child, the infant, trying to walk? Daddy or mommy or somebody holds the hand. And even though this child stumbles, dad or mom's hand is holding and is able to keep the child from falling. The deliverance, the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. Another translation says, for the eternal holds him by the hand. Another one says, for Jehovah is holding his hand. It's the God of the universe. It's the God of creation. It's the master, the sovereign, the majestic, the holy, that is reaching down to touch your life, to grab your hand, to hold you, and to lead you. Can I refer to Brother Jackman again? Someone of his family made mention of one of his little cliches, one of his little sayings. He said that God will pull you through without pulling you in two. I kind of like that. If we hold to his hand, he is holding ours. Our hand may seem to slip, but he is holding ours. He can pull us through without pulling us in two. I like that. And the Lord shall help them and deliver them and save them because they trust in him. That's down just a couple more verses to verse 40 in this 37th division. The deliverance. God has promised to sustain us in the midst of all that comes our way. The afflictions, the distresses, the problems, the heartache, the heart grief. Whatever it is that comes into our lives, God has his purpose, God has his plan. We could spend a little bit of time talking about the threshing machine of our Heavenly Father, allowing us to go through those trials or those tribulations, those difficult places. But his hand has been promised to sustain us in the midst of our afflictions. The steps of a good man are ordered. There's the directing. There we also find that there is a delighting in his way, both ways, him delighting in ours and us delighting in his. And we find that there's the possibility of the downfall, but we realize as well that there is a delivering hand to guide us. We're talking about the Christian's conquest, and in that conquest we find these four things that help us and sustain us to walk carefully with him. What your struggle is, God is aware. He is watching. He busies himself with your steps. Let's stand together tonight. Don't forget to gather in for VBS meeting and the other things that need to be done here as well. Let's pray and ask the Lord for his help through this week. If you can't come and help, please help by giving time for prayer and seeking the Lord for the time together with the children every evening this week. And the program is Friday. Have we announced anything about that? Friday at 6 o'clock, regular time VBS. So program is on Friday at 6 o'clock. So keep that in mind. And Wednesday night service will be VBS at 6 o'clock. So all of this week is focused in on VBS. Let's ask the Lord for his touch and help this week. Rick Moore, would you dismiss us tonight in prayer?